Welcome to the Mass Effect Hypecast. I am Morgan, aka Bond Diesel, and this is a podcast about Mass Effect, the future of the BioWare premier franchise, and all of our speculation and ideas for the next game. This episode, I'll be covering the 2023 and 7-day reveals and everything around it, and that's going to take up this whole show. A few things before we get started. On YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, consider becoming a member, hit the like button if you like it, and comment down below, or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. If you're able, on iTunes or Spotify, please leave a review. A special thank you to all of my patrons and YouTube members, including producer level, Hassan and YouTubes, as well as supporter level, Neuronix, PK, Cage Nephilim, and Horseman. If you're interested in supporting this podcast for as little as $1 per month, please check out patreon.com/bonddiesel or become a member on YouTube. Okay, to get into the episode topics, I am going to do kind of a light overview of the blog and the trailer that we got. I have some deep dives on my YouTube if you just search for Bond Diesel, or check out links down in the description of this video or the podcast. That should be fairly easy to find. I have some mixed feelings. So we're going to go through the blog. We're going to talk about the trailer. We're going to talk about just a bunch of other random details and things that have happened in the last couple days. And then I'll just kind of give my overall thoughts and kind of general expectations for the near and far future of the coverage of this game and so on and so forth. So around noon, my time, the BioWare blog dropped. We got some tweets, we got various announcements, and it took us to what honestly ended up being the blog itself is relatively sparse. Doesn't have a whole lot to talk about. Last year we had like bits of like concept art that you could kind of dig up and find, and it was, I will say, the blog at least last year was more interesting than the one we got this year. The first part of it starts off with a three paragraph kind of letter from Mike Gamble, who is the Mass Effect franchise director and executive producer. The first and last paragraphs are kind of just like, thank you. So the middle one I think is the most interesting and we'll talk about the most. And it reads, talking about the process of making this next game. That process is equal parts rewarding and challenging. We've asked ourselves many of the same questions you've asked us over the years. What happened to everyone that you know and love in the games? Who really died? Who had kids with whom? What does a baby Volus sound like? What about all of the galaxies? The endings? What the heck is going on with our Asari scientist turned shadow broker? What about... Never mind, you get the idea. And of course, to those questions, there are answers. But you'll have to wait to hear them. And anything we do say won't be easy to find, just as you've come to expect from our hashtag N7Day teases. The notable thing here that isn't blatantly said is that at the end of the list of mysteries that they, you know, say will eventually be answered is the what about S? It's, in, at least in my opinion, and I think what most people believe, is that's a reference to what about Shepard. I will say that throughout the day, as we got the trailer and then a poster as well, I think this is an interesting thing, and we'll kind of come back to it. But when people were reading this, I remember seeing the initial impressions on the Mass Effect subreddit and the, you know, community Twitter, everyone going crazy and stuff like that. I remember, you know, people were seeing this, including myself, being like, okay, this feels like them kind of confirming, yeah, sure, this is going to be a game that takes place relatively shortly after Mass Effect 3, because all of these questions they asked, that makes sense. Like, you know, if they're going to answer those questions by the game being set in a place that would answer all of those questions. And then they did and said some things later that put that into some mystery. We'll get to it. So as you scroll down and check out the blog, it just turns into a merch thing. So Humble Bundle is doing a discount on a bunch of Dragon Age and Mass Effect comics and so on. And it's for charity. It's going to Child's Play. It's a children's hospital charity that gets games and stuff for kids, I believe. There's a BioWare gear post. They've had a bunch of new items, including a kind of light up Omniblade and a Claymore shotgun, as well as some other stuff they've posted on there. I think there's like a baby Krogan stuffy or something. And then there was the announcement of a Dark Horse statue for FemShep. And it's pretty big and it's pretty expensive, but it honestly looks really good. And my only real complaint is that I just wish it was, I wish it was an FemShep, or I wish they had both, honestly, because I know people love both characters. So they also announced that there's going to be a Tali and a Rex statue coming. I really like the Tali statue I have. I have the one where she's sitting on something. Sitting on her drone, I believe. And then the Rex one, I'm actually really interested in. Rex and Garrus and FemShep are the ones I've really been wanting. And I ordered off of IGN, of all places, I think it's a Dark Horse statue, Liara and Garrus. And so now my last two I really want are Rex and Shepard, hopefully sooner than later, but we'll see. And then this Volante brand has a Garrus-inspired heavy like winter jacket that it like very closely resembles Garrus's armor, his like the armor style at least. And I think it's like $600. So have at it if that's for you. That is not for me. And then last, there's this Sanchi collectibles. And this is the one that has the baby, the baby Krogan and a bunch of little pins and little chibi kind of things. So there you go. The blog does wrap up with To the Stars. And it's his final little bit from the Mass Effect team. And it says, "Your joy, creativity, and passion help drive us towards the future of Mass Effect and all that may become. The team is taking their time to craft a whole new adventure for you to enjoy with new stories, characters, and experiences to fill it. At the end of the day, that's what N7Day is about, celebrating you and this special franchise that brings all of us together. We hope you've enjoyed this glimpse into the future of the franchise so far, and don't worry, there's more to come, but further away. Ever your biggest fans, the Mass Effect team." If you noticed, I had some trouble reading that. It's because there's a bunch of ones and zeros mixed into the text that makes some of the words look kind of hard to read. And if you scroll back through the rest of the article, besides the letter from Mike Gamble, there are random ones and zeros through the entire blog. And what people pretty quickly figured out, I did, I thought I was on the cutting edge and I ended up doing it wrong. People figured out that this was kind of a hidden message. And what it ended up leading to was the word that it created, if you did it, if you put into a binary translator, led to a EA website, and it led to a countdown. People figured this out pretty quick, and it was funny because the initial reaction was it was a countdown. It says something about breaking the first code, and everyone was like, "Oh, maybe it was just a countdown for us to break the code." And then once the timer ran out, people figured out pretty quickly that it wasn't that, because the first part of a trailer began playing. And that trailer, it was about 6 seconds, and it was some feet walking down the hallway. And then an hour later, another countdown was going on, and that revealed another 5 seconds, which was the arm and the body of someone walking down the hallway. And then after two more hours, which if you want to see the pain we are going through, I have this will be on my YouTube. I recorded a stream where we hung out and checked all this out. They revealed the rest of this trailer. It ended up being this about 30-second long trailer, and it involves this figure. It appears to be a woman walking in this kind of armor slash cloak slash like long jacket with big flared like collar, like almost like a cyberpunk kind of looking thing on it, with red lights on the back, and on the back of this helmet, which is this kind of initiative Andromeda sort of looking, but more sleek looking helmet. It's actually pretty cool looking. And the armor is N7 armor. It has an N7 insignia on the chest and on the back of the collar. And Mike Gamble commented on this in a tweet, but someone asked, like, wait, why isn't there an N7 on the helmet? And Mike Gamble said they didn't want it to look like a billboard. So what we see is a N7 soldier walking down this hallway. There's some windows that you can obviously see the person is walking by. It appears they're inside the building, walking out of the building through this hallway with light shining in. There are some like missile pods or something, like ammunition that they walk by. I haven't been able to identify it, and I haven't seen anyone else talk about it. You can see what looks like a bunch of like tall buildings outside the windows. And then the figure walks towards a doorway where you can see kind of a yellowish tinged dust storm kind of wind event happening outside. And you can also see what appears to be a ship that it's very clouded. You can't see any details on it, but you can make out what appears to be a ramp that is coming down off the ship that presumably the character is walking towards to get out. So we see the character. They do at one point pull out a pistol from their coat, from their armor, and the pistol has the same sound as one of the Mass Effect 1 pistols and the Mass Effect trilogy pistols, but it does look much different. And we see in a later in a poster that gets revealed, we see some more detail on it, and it appears to be like an N7 pistol that we haven't seen before. Now, this trailer doesn't really give us too much to go on. So something I'm actually just noticing now is that out the windows, you can see what appear to be like sky cars driving by. And even in the image at the end, when the figure is walking out of the exit, and you see the wind blowing this dust, this yellow tinge, you can actually see sky cars flying around in the background as well. So, they're on a what I assume is a planet in a city somewhere. They could, I guess, be on like a big capital ship or something. But with all the buildings and the sky cars, I'm going to guess they're on a planet, or it could even be the Citadel. We don't know. There was some concept art of the Citadel last year, and it was fairly basic, but it seemed to be introducing the idea that the Citadel would be involved again. Now, at one point in the trailer, at the very beginning, it appears that I think in the background of the hallway, it looks like there is maybe a Krogan in the background who looks like they're kind of like looking out of one of the windows, and they kind of turn as the N7 soldier walks by. During the initial reveal, noticing that this was definitely like a female figure, seeing the N7 branding before we saw the helmet, all of us were guessing FemShop. That's why, I mean, I was all in, to the point where I thought that when they showed the rest of the trailer, it was going to be FemShop like turning and kind of looking at the camera and then like walking away. Unfortunately, this figure is under a helmet, and there's people making all kinds of guesses and suggestions, going crazy with the speculation, which is what this is all for. There was a lot of talk of like, yeah, this looks like a little bit futuristic. This a lot of people compared it to looking like a Daft Punk, one of the band members, like one of their helmets. And it does in a nice way. I think the armor looks great, but the, it's hard to take too much from this. We don't see too much. I'm sure myself and others are going to be digging into all of this and trying to figure out where this is and all that. The one little fallacy about that, though, is that, with these kind of things, every single little detail matters, right? Every single little detail is in there purposefully. But we're also talking about a game that's in pre-production. And we're talking about a game that may be many, many years, and we'll talk about that later, away from release. And there's a really good chance they don't have all the details worked out yet. This game has been in pre-production at least since 2020, and I think before. When Casey Hudson came back to BioWare for a short time, I suspect they kicked it off around that time and were kind of setting the future of the franchise up while he was getting his humanoid studio going on the side. And I still think that they have probably been in pre-production of some capacity since like 2018 or 19, likely after Anthem came out and had issues. So yeah, this trailer, I'm sure there's still more to glean from it. We'll be looking at this for the next year. I think one of the big issues I have, and this is a completely selfish thing, is that the 2022 N7 Day had a bunch of concept art and a little teaser kind of video thing and some audio with that we've all been trying to decipher and figure out, and it was fairly meaty. This blog and this trailer and then the subsequent poster that came out later, it isn't very meaty. It is interesting, and especially when we get to the poster, there's some pretty big revelations there, which we'll talk about in a moment. But like, I probably can't make videos about this for the next year. Like, I actually felt pretty comfortable doing that with last year's N7 Day. And so, we'll have to see how this goes. I could promise you I have a few months of content to talk about here. But it's the reaction to this has been interesting, and we'll get to that. So the final thing that we got was after that trailer came out, we saw this kind of masked figure, and then we saw Mike Gamble and some other people post a poster, some art that depicts the figure in the trailer from the front in this kind of elegant walking pose, which I think it's very cool looking art. I really, really like it. It gives a kind of a different view of the helmet, which looks really, really good. The kind of cloak, long jacket armor that the N7 soldier is wearing, and has a good view of the pistol, which appears to have either a silencer or some kind of compensator or something on the front of it. With the weapons in Mass Effect, it's kind of hard to really say like what these things do, because they don't really tend to do much, the attachments on the guns, at least so far. But what we see, there's a couple interesting things. So the maybe slightly less interesting thing is the cloak, the long part of the jacket, kind of is enveloped in this kind of wispy design that is kind of hard to describe what it looks like over like a podcast, or even if you're watching the video version of the show. I'm not showing it on the screen right now, but you can go to my Twitter or the Mass Effect Twitter and see all of this stuff. And what's interesting is that Kala Elizabeth, who is one of the YouTubers and Mass Effect creators, showed that there is like a slight similarity between this kind of wispy design and actually the old Paragon design, the Paragon symbol, that blue symbol that would pop up in Mass Effect 3 and 2 whenever you had to make like a split second decision to be good or bad. It looks a little bit like it. I wouldn't say it's like 100% dead on, but it is a resemblance. It's also worth noting that along with the white and red symbolism and the logos all over the place, the white and red stripes on the N7 armor, there is also just a general theme of red and blue in this entire poster. There's an image in the middle of the figure, which I'll get to here in a moment, that is very suggestive in some ways and kind of leading us to believe some things about what this next game may be, but there's definitely this theme of red and blue in this, and that has me and a lot of other people speculating that maybe this is supposed to be kind of looking back and insinuating back to the Paragon Renegade system. This is something that was completely missing from Andromeda. They got rid of that system entirely, which, for better or worse, I don't think the Paragon Renegade system in the trilogy is perfect. I think it's a little too black and white. I think it's a little too obvious. So while I do hope that they bring back the Renegade Paragon system in Mass Effect next, whatever this is going to be called, I do hope it's a little more nuanced and maybe a little more interesting, where it's not just pick the blue text or pick the red text or some neutral choice in between, or hit the right trigger at the right time during an event. I would like, personally, for them to come back to some kind of Paragon Renegade morality system that can impact who will work with you, or who hates you, or who will try to backstab you, or who you can romance and things. That would be cool, and I would like it to be a little more vague. When you're in dialogue and you're making choices, or you're just making gameplay choices, I would like for it not to be like, oh, are you going to do the red or the blue thing? I would like it to make that kind of hard to know, where it would take multiple playthroughs, and, you know, it would take at least a little bit of time for people to figure out, like, oh, if I do that, that's going to count as a big Paragon thing, and that's going to lock me out of this or that. I think that would be really cool. So the symbolism on the poster with the red and blue, or the red and blue, to me is exciting. It could just be a throwback, and maybe it's just a little nostalgia hit for us. Or it could be suggesting a return of that system in some capacity, which would be thumbs up okay with me. Now, to get to the juiciest part of, I honestly think, probably even more so than the trailer and more so than anything in the blog, or at least that we know about, that we've discovered, is there's this image that's in the middle of the N7's kind of silhouette on this poster that depicts what appears to be a bar. It looks a little bit like what we saw from like the Afterlife in Mass Effect 3, or even the Omega Bar in Mass Effect 2. But it does look different. I don't think it's either one of those, or if it is, it's like a very redesigned version of them, which is possible. But what we see in this bar, most of it is innocuous. It is not really that crazy. We see humans walking around. We see some Asari hanging out. We even see a very chonky Volus in the middle, as well as some Krogans. We see some Salarians that are definitely Salarians. Some Hanar kind of hanging out. We may see a Quarian sitting down. I'm not sold on it. There's three interesting things that we see here. One of them are these creatures that kind of look like Salarians, but they're like 2 feet taller than the other Salarians in this art, and they are huge. And so some people have predicted maybe this is a new species. Maybe it's like a new rendition, or a rendition of like the Ralloy, the kind of bird species that is in the universe, but we've never actually seen in a game. My guess is it's actually a Salarian. And if you haven't dove into all of the side stuff, which I haven't completely either, you may not know that a lot of the species have like subspecies. So there's Salarians, but there's not just Salarians. There's different kinds of Salarians. And one of the types of Salarians, I believe, is some offshoot group that are these, like, I think they're known as like mercenaries and stuff. And they're huge. They're gigantic. They're big brutes. And I believe they've been featured in some of the comics. And that's what these look like. I've seen some people say that maybe they're just Turians from a weird angle. I don't think so. I think that a couple of these creatures are going to be these big brutish Salarians that we've actually never seen in the game before, but we've seen in some of the other media. Or it could be a brand new species. And then getting to what I think is, for better or worse, the most interesting part of the poster art is smack dab in the middle. Pretty obviously, you know, our eyes are supposed to be drawn there to look at it, is what appears to be, in my opinion, at like a booth, is an Asari sitting there. Some people have said it looks like PB from Andromeda. I don't think it does, but maybe it does. I have no idea. It's very small. It's hard to tell. But there is, I would say with like 95% certainty, an Angaran with its hand down on the table, leaning over and seemingly talking to that Asari. You can't see its face, but its clothing, its shoulders, and the shape and the way that its like legs are, it's an Angaran. I don't want it to be, for my own personal story desire reasons, but it's an Angaran. I've seen people say like, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I mean, maybe it's not an Angaran, but it sure looks like one. Which starts to send your mind down some paths about like, okay, what are they messaging here? Because again, everything that's in here is here for a purpose. They didn't put any of this stuff into this poster, the trailer, or that blog by mistake. It wasn't an oopsie doopsie. It was all purposeful, right? And what's maybe even more interesting than seeing this Angaran in this bar, in reminding ourselves that so far, all of the teasers we've seen and all of the media that we've seen seems like it's taking place in the Milky Way. At least that's my opinion. And we've seen some suggestion to Andromeda, even in the countdowns for the trailer. There's references to like the Andromeda, the date that that initiative arrived in Andromeda, which, you know, maybe that was just the date they were expected to arrive. Maybe this is not in the future, all of this stuff, or maybe it is. And there's also something referencing an Andromeda emergency signal that was before the first trailer, or after the first trailer dropped. There was some text that talked about that. So what's almost more interesting than seemingly all of this stuff taking place in the Milky Way and there being an Angaran is the fact that on near the table to the right on the picture, there appears to be a Geth. And not just a Geth, but a Geth wearing clothes. I really don't get it. I hate it. Kind of. Why would a Geth be wearing clothes? It doesn't make any sense to me. I guess if they've, you know, in this whatever time frame we're in, wherever we are, whatever universe we're in here, you know, they're sentient, they're individuals. Maybe they start wearing clothes. I don't know why. Do we have Geth genitals? I don't know. These are questions I actually don't want the answer to. Oh my God, can they reproduce like organics? What have we done? Burn it with fire. But no, still, it's weird. And I've seen people say like, well, maybe it's not a Geth. And it's like, you could go on the very fringes and say like, well, because it does, because you have to remember Geth and Koryans look very similar. And I've seen someone suggest that the head, what it looks like is the Geth light with the light in the middle and kind of the effect coming off of it with the two lines side to side. That sure seems like what we're seeing in this poster. I've seen someone suggest that maybe that's a reflection off of a Koryan's helmet. Maybe it is. Maybe they're fooling with us. I don't know. Because the Geth and the Koryans have similar like looking hands, which is the only other thing you can see here. You can't actually see their legs or their feet because there's like some mist or something on the ground. So getting back to it though, so this takes us down a weird path. And I need to mention again that there's Hanar here. And so the reason that's interesting is because as far as we know at this point, from the games we've played and the things that we know, there are Angarans and Andromeda. And there are no Angarans in the Milky Way. What we also know as of this point, which, you know, can change over the, you know, next couple of years as we learn more, is that the Geth, as far as we know, are only in the Milky Way. And the Hanar are only in the Milky Way. Because even on all of the arcs that got sent to Andromeda, I don't believe there any of the arcs, even the Koryan arc, I don't think had Hanar on them. And as far as we know, and maybe this will be another plot point or something, there were no Geth on any of those ships either. And so for a Geth and a Hanar to be in the same room with an Angaran, something has happened. And they, the developers and the artists and whoever was in charge of making all of this, And deciding what we were going to see for this N7 day. I mean, they're messaging something, right? So there's a whole bunch of theories going around. Everyone's losing their minds. And we just don't know. It's all theories. It's all speculation. And that's what we're here for. So don't think that I'm just going to shut it down and be like, well, I'm not going to talk about it. Because, no, that's what we're here for. But whatever's going on in this next game and in the franchise is in some capacity they're having to figure out a way to bring Andromeda and the Milky Way together. This isn't surprising. Mike Gamble has been suggesting this for literally years at this point, fairly subtly, but he has been suggesting it. And that's mostly been how this has been hinted, is on Mike Gamble's Twitter, basically. And what's been so interesting about it, and we've talked about this in the Discord, which you can find a link to, but just in general, is that it's down in the description, by the way. Mike Gamble has hinted to an Andromeda Milky Way connection, But so far, like I said before, all of the media we've seen, the trailer from 2020, the poster from 2021, the little teaser image thing from 2022, and maybe even this, seems to all be saying Milky Way. But we see an N'Garen. And we see a Geth, which then leads people down all these questions of, well, are they going to canonize an ending? Is Destroy the ending? Are they going to hand wave all of them? Are they going to try to make a way for all of them to work? Does this take place shortly after Mass Effect 3? Well, then how are their N'Garen here? Maybe how are their Geth here? Okay, well, maybe is it 600, 700, 800 years in the future? Well, okay, so that still makes it weird. How are these things together? And then you start, then you start going back to the people who had all the theories about wormholes and time travel and making new relays between Andromeda and the Milky Way. And we just are getting to a point where what's interesting is I thought that at the end of this N7 day, after seeing the blog and that trailer and this poster, we would maybe know more than we knew before. I think that especially this poster has opened up so many more questions and uncertainties that we probably know less than we knew before this N7 day. And while that may be frustrating to some people, and while it still doesn't come along with a lot of things to cover, so even myself and probably some other content creators are frustrated with this, from a fan point of view, who went into this knowing that this game is years away, which again, we're going to get to that soon, that if you went into this not expecting to get huge reveals, because they are still in pre-production, they are still focused on Dragon Age Dreadwolf, they probably do know a lot, and they probably could show us a lot, but it's just not that time yet. If you went into it being happy with whatever they gave us, this is great. This N7 day was great. And this poster is great. And the trailer was great. And the blog is great. And so while I'll give my kind of final thoughts at the end of the podcast, I like that we have more questions than we did before. I kind of like that we know less than we did before. I kind of like that, depending on who you are, you can kind of come up any theory you had before, you can still hopium and copium your way into believing it still. Now, do I think that some of the theories about like how Andromeda and the Milky Way are going to be connected in the next game, I was someone who was really hoping that that wouldn't be the case. I think that's a pretty hard stance to have at this point. And if that's a thing that you were passionate about too and really hoping they wouldn't do for the next game, I would probably drop that. I would probably start to try to work your mind around how that could work, because that's probably happening. That seems almost certain at this point. If you're someone who's against the idea of like wormholes and all of that kind of stuff, or them connecting the galaxies with like a super relay or something, I would probably start to get over that stuff, because I don't think this game is going to take place like 1,300 years after the events of Mass Effect 3. So I don't think we're looking at a situation where the Andromeda Initiative arrived 600 years after the trilogy, then they spent some time and decided to send a mission back to the Milky Way that took another 600 years. They're going to do something here that is going to, I think, allow people and aliens to go between the galaxies fairly quickly and easily, because I just don't see them trying to push this game out for over 1,000 years. And that itself wouldn't make a lot of sense, because we at least have some insinuation that Liara is in the next game, and even she probably wouldn't be alive if this game is going to take place 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 years after the events of Mass Effect 3. So if you've been unwilling to dive in or even accept some of those ideas for what this next game could be, I would advise, my advice would be to start maybe opening your mind to stuff, and we'll talk about that. So the poster, really cool. Lots of things to talk about. Maybe not everything I would have preferred to see. And maybe I would have liked to have more, but I still thought it was interesting. I think the trailer is cool. I like designs. I like what they're kind of going for. I enjoy the tease. And that poster and the blog are great. So to move out of the things we actually saw, there were some other things. So, Gamble, of course, was tweeting like a mad person, and getting really into all of that stuff. He, you know, posted the blog link and then posted, he was, I believe, the first one who put up the poster. He, you know, after this was all over, he thanked everyone for being a part of this and talking about how uplifting and cool it is for him and the team to see everyone going crazy with this stuff. I'm trying to just to scroll through real quick and see if he had anything else that was, too wild. Not really. And one of the interesting things that I think it was before N7Day even launched, or maybe as it was happening, he pointed out that, he at least insinuated that that 2020, the Game Awards trailer that kind of debuted that this game was happening, he claims still has secrets and things that people, as far as he know, as far as he knows, haven't figured out. And so obviously that set off a spree of people going back to that. I think we know where this new info is that people never completely figured out. But I don't think anyone's like deciphered it yet. If you look at my Twitter and or go to the Discord, you'll see that at about the 52nd mark of that 2020 trailer, there's what sounds like a feminine and a masculine voice. A feminine voice talks, and then a masculine voice speaks. And there's some people who have claimed that they hear stuff being said. I used a bunch of tools to like remove the background, and I actually use some music software that removes background music to keep the lyrics and vice versa. And I was able to figure out some stuff. But the best guesses I've seen and that kind of track with the things I found is that it sounds like it's someone like it's the female voice is talking about anomalies in space that they can't explain. And then the masculine voice may be talking about wormholes. And so that kind of wraps around to what we saw with this 2023 N7Day and really starts to lend. And this could be hopium and copium. Let me be very clear. It's really hard to hear. There's some loud music playing. There's loud noises playing. Even the software I used to try to clear the stuff up, it didn't do a great job. It definitely gave us, you know, I saw some things I hadn't seen before and heard some things I hadn't heard before, but it's not very clear. Now, it does kind of wrap around to this new N7Day where, you know, how are these species all together? That doesn't make any sense. There has to be some explanation. And we're going to be finding out eventually in the next few years whether or not they are going to go down some path that involves using wormholes or some kind of black holes or inventing some kind of tech using relay tech and stuff like that to try to get places faster that are, you know, as far as a galaxy away. With that note, also keep in mind that in the blog, one of the lines from Gamble up at the top was when he's saying, who has kids with whom? What does a baby Volus sound like? What about all of the galaxies? I mean, that doesn't sound like what about the two galaxies? So I promise I'm not insinuating I want to see them involve more galaxies than just Andromeda and the Milky Way. But, you know, we'll see. This could get as crazy as they want it to. So that whole 2020 trailer little mystery is interesting. One of the tweets he put out was saying that, you know, for the 2020 trailer, we spent days carefully crafting all of the secrets within it. Maybe one day we'll decode it. It very well may just be one of those things that, in, you know, a few years when this game comes out, they'll finally say like, okay, well, here's this trailer and here's all the things we put in it that you guys never noticed. And the reason that can work is because once the game comes out, once we know more about the game, we're going to be looking for things that we aren't currently looking for. We're going to have information we don't currently have, right? So that's that. And then Gamble also suggested or seemed to suggest that there's things in the 2023 trailer or poster or both that we still haven't noticed or that we still haven't deciphered. So I suspect that it's something to do with you can briefly see out the windows of this hallway in the trailer. And there's stuff out there, and I haven't stopped to take a really close look at it or tried to enhance it or do anything like that quite yet. There also could be stuff in the poster that we haven't noticed yet. Even if it's just symbolism, maybe it's not very obvious. I don't know. But no matter how big, and the reason the 2023 thing, it's because there's a tweet where Mike Gamble specifically tagged Parrish Lay, who's one of the big wigs with Mass Effect, saying they still haven't found the other part, the one I was afraid of them finding. Woo. kind of like a oof, you know, thank goodness they didn't find it. So I don't know what that means. I have no idea. He put that out after it seems like people had kind of figured out most of everything we even know right now. And so I have no idea. It's a genuine mystery to me. I am not sure what he means by that. So beyond that, we had on Wednesday, so the next day, all of the journalists and podcasts and all that were reporting on N7 Day with some mixed reactions, which we'll get to. But one of the interesting ones was Jeff Grubb. So Jeff Grubb, he has his own kind of podcast thing called the Game Mess and Nintendogs that he does with Mike Minotti, who's another journalist. He's also part of Giant Bomb, which is a pretty heralded and well-known gaming consortium of podcasts and all that. And Grubb has a morning show. So on N7 Day, he basically mentioned like, hey, I'll have a story about this. I have some of my own reporting on this for Wednesday. So Wednesday rolls around, I and I'm sure a bunch of other people listen in. And he said something kind of interesting. So he had Tamor Hussein on there, who's a GameSpot employee and journalist, and a big Mass Effect fan. He did a couple of things, but the big news thing, especially that's still hitting today on Thursday, was that he said that he's talked to sources in BioWare, I presume, who the impression is that the Mass Effect game is still very far away. And then, and you can watch it for yourself. I actually have a video that's going to launch on Thursday afternoon that you can go where I break all this down in even more detail. But what's confusing about what he says is that he says that it's from a source, these things he said. And then he says something along the lines of, well, Dreadwolf began development in 2018 or was announced in 2018. And it's expected to come out in 2024. So, 6 years later. So he would expect Mass Effect to have the same development length. So if it's now, to be fair, Mass Effect, the next game was announced in 2020. And so that would mean 2026 in the same logic. But if he means from development, then he means that if they start full production of Mass Effect in 2024, then it may not come out until 2029 or 2030. And he specifically calls out the year 2029. And I have issues with that because it doesn't make sense for a couple reasons, for multiple reasons. And I've seen a lot of other people have a similar issue, but we have not seen BioWare or Mike Gamble or anyone else official either confirm or deny any of this stuff. And they won't. They have no reason to. They're just putting their head down and doing their thing. But the issue I have with that, there's a few of them. So the main one being that, if we are going off announcements, then a release date for the Mass Effect game of 2026 or 2027 kind of makes more sense. If we're going off production, assuming that Mass Effect is going to have the same production length as Dreadwolf is weird. Dreadwolf, and I've seen people reference like, well, Dreadwolf was supposed to come out in 2023, but now it got delayed to 2024. It was supposed to come out in 2023 after at least two, if not more, reboots where they were putting in and removing live service capability in the game, which was a core part of the game and was a big deal for them to insert in 2018 and then remove in 2021, as well as other delays. COVID, I'm sure, was a big part of that too, them moving to full remote development. And so to say that you expect Mass Effect to have like a 6-year production cycle, not pre-production and production, which pre-production has been going on since at least 2020, and putting out a date of saying that this next Mass Effect won't be out until 2029, which right now is 6 years away from the current date, and in theory he's actually saying 2030 if the game doesn't start production until 2024. That's weird because that's assuming that the next Mass Effect is going to be rebooted multiple times. It's assuming it's going to be internally delayed multiple times. And it's assuming it's going to deal with a similarly disruptive event like COVID during its development. And all three of those things are possible, but they're not likely. And so I have to imagine, and I would have to dig, and this information may not exist, But my assumption is when they started making Dreadwolf in 2018, they probably intended to release it in 2021 or 2022, because that's the production time a lot of these games have. That doesn't include pre-production. And from I've been trying to look it up, and it seems like pre-production is thought to have maybe started as soon as after Inquisition on Dragon Age Dreadwolf, which is back to like 2013 or 2014 or 15, which is wild, because that will mean that from pre-production to release, you're looking at about 10 years for Dreadwolf. But you're also looking at a fairly rare situation where development ended up being basically twice as long as it was probably meant to be because of reboots, delays, and COVID. And so I guess my whole thing is that, you know, even if Mass Effect isn't starting full production till the end of 2024, say, I just don't think you can assume it's going to have multiple reboots, but it could, but it probably won't. You can't assume it's going to have internal delays. It probably will, but it might not, right? And you definitely can't assume it's going to have some altering event like COVID. And so if you do what I think is the more logical thing, and you say, you know, a more typical production time, especially for a game that's been in pre-production for such a long time, is probably more something like 3 years of like full on, all of BioWare is on this, which is another point I'll get to in a moment. That seems more realistic to me, at least. It's also hopium and copium. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. And so a release date of 2026 or 2027 seems a lot more realistic to me than 2029. The other reason the 2029 release date seems kind of crazy to me is I don't think EA will have that kind of patience with BioWare. Because Inquisition was a fairly big hit back in 2013-14. Then in 17, you had Andromeda, I think it was 17. And that, I think it sold okay. It sounds like financially it did okay. Definitely didn't help anything with their reputation, and definitely didn't help them in general. It wasn't a great moment for them. And then they even cut and run on that after they kind of fixed it up and put everything in on Anthem, which came out, I believe, in 2018. And then that failed even more miserably than Andromeda. And now we've had this Dreadwolf game and development hell that probably isn't going to come out until 2024. So you're looking at a 5-year gap there between it and Anthem. And then you're looking at between Anthem and Andromeda and Inquisition, you know, a gap there. I find it almost impossible to believe that if Dreadwolf comes out in 2024, that EA is going to say, you know what, BioWare, sure, take another 5 years to not add any new revenue streams. Just take your time and just figure it out. And they don't have the revenue source coming from SWTOR anymore because they kicked that off. It just doesn't seem realistic to me. Like I guess my concern is that if 2029 is the date that they are expecting Mass Effect, I don't expect Mass Effect. And that's not me like ho-humming, sensationalizing, and wishing for BioWare, you know, ill on them. I'm not. I want them to be successful. I want everything to go really great. I promise. But it just doesn't seem realistic. And I had a back and forth with someone on Twitter who's a news retweeter, basically, who was like, I said this, essentially what I've been talking about. And they're like, no, games take a really long time to develop nowadays, you know, 5 to 6 years. And I was like, well, yeah, but that's like including pre-production. And the problem is a lot of games don't do much pre-production nowadays. So when you see a game come out and fail and fall on its face, they probably didn't do much pre-production, and they probably finished pre-production in production. And that's bad. That's not good. And so if this next Mass Effect game has been in pre-production since 2020, even 2019, maybe earlier, probably not, and they don't start full production until 2024, I mean, you're looking at a good 4 or 5 years of just straight pre-production. And as of last summer, they had all of their directors for the game who, as far as we know, are all still there. It seems like they've had a really good pre-production cycle for this Mass Effect game, which was probably not the case for Dreadwolf and hasn't been the case for a lot of other games. And so that means that 2 to 3 year full production window is maybe realistic, is because of that. And then there's also the rumors about the next game potentially not being open world, and maybe it has more of a hub and mission style, where open world games, which I'm sure with Dreadwolf has been a huge part of that, with open world games having to make these giant environments and make them work with everything and fill them up with content that you want your players to play. it's a big endeavor, and we've seen that. It's been almost an epidemic for the last 15 years of companies trying to make bigger and bigger open worlds and try to fill them with more stuff, and often failing to do so. But it's still taking a ton of development time, where a more typical like hub and mission style game, like the old trilogy Mass Effect games, I don't want to say it's easier, but it's I assume a more efficient process of, okay, we're gonna have some hub worlds where you can kind of, you know, take care of all your business and get missions and all that, and then we can make a bunch of smaller and probably more detailed environments for all the various missions and tasks that you're gonna leave the hub world to go do. So I just, that article or his statement, it was just interesting. And I can't clarify. I've talked about in the video I made. I basically have no way to contact Jeff Grubb for a reason. I think I know what it is. It's because another journalist lied about something and I got blacklisted by a bunch of people. But that's fine. I'll get over it. I won't. But so I'm curious to how this is going to play out. I just don't think it makes any sense from a development point of view or from a financial point of view for 2029 to really be the target date for this next Mass Effect. It just doesn't seem real and it's definitely partly because I don't want to have to wait that long. And when I thought about how old I'll be when that happens, I really don't want to think about it. But I think it's an interesting thing to consider, I guess. So moving on, another part of his that game mess, that show he did that really drove me nuts was he quoted this Kotaku article that this article, they did kind of like a live article. So as things started popping off, the person was adding to their article. I have no doubt that the person who wrote that Kotaku article is a big fan of Mass Effect, and I'm sure they're great. But that article, this individual who wrote it, has taken so much of their own hopes and dreams for the next game and have just and just pretended it's all been confirmed, even though it hasn't. And then Jeff and other people have been reading out the stuff that this person wrote that isn't true. and I also believe that this article combined the 50 devs who were fired back in August with those Keywords QA devs who were fired by Keywords, a separate developer, but still decided to pick it at BioWare for reasons. They combine that into one group, even though they are two completely separate people. The BioWare devs are taking care of that. It's only seven of them are taking care of everything through the courts. And this Keywords dev was protesting at BioWare's building for some reason, even though they were fired by another company. I made a whole video about it. You can go check it out on my YouTube. And so that Kotaku article basically wasn't very good. And it was really frustrating for that to be the basis of Jeff's discussion on the N7 day, because it was just wrong. Like, most of it wasn't very good. And that's okay. I saw that they did update that article, and so I thought maybe they went back and maybe fixed up some of that stuff, and they didn't. I don't know what they changed, but there's a lot of good recaps of N7 day, including right here on my channel or on my YouTube channel if you're listening through the podcast. So please, you know, check those out, or just maybe some more reputable things. That Kotaku article is awful. So that's just my opinion. And that's not me doing like the anti-Kotaku thing. They do some fine stuff, but that wasn't one of their finer moments. From that, I wanted to kind of quickly cover some of the kind of random tweets and stuff that went out. One of the really interesting ones to me was pointed out by a Twitter account called @ErdnotChief. I think it's like a role-playing Rex account. But beyond that, they actually had kind of an interesting post here where they pointed out that in 2022, after people deciphered that that audio from the little teaser, which is Liara talking to someone, the official Mass Effect account posted a deciphered version of it so it was clear people could hear it better. And in that post, they refer to the community and the fans as agents. Well, then you look at this poster and this trailer, and this N7 soldier sure looks like kind of a sleek, kind of super secret agent, kind of something. Now, I don't know how secret agent they are by having a giant N7 logo on multiple pieces of their clothing, but it does kind of give off this vibe of more of like a 007 kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation right now that that this N7 soldier is either a part of like a group, or maybe they've changed the N7 program, and whenever this game takes place, where they're more like operators or agents than they are the super soldiers that like Shepard was. So we'll have to see about that. There was also multiple things tweeted out by Gamble during all of these reveals, where he said something like, not everything is as it seems. And he tweeted out a few things kind of like that, like look closely when he tweeted out the blog. I assume he was talking about the binary numbers, but basically, even though we were already all confused because so much of this information is contradictory and it's kind of hard to put it all together and apparently we're missing things, Gamble made sure to even throw in there and be like, by the way, everything's not what it seems. It's like, what? Like, ah. So, you know, this is all on purpose. This is all a big marketing thing, and it's working, obviously. And I think it's a lot of fun, but that's because I didn't really go into it with too many expectations and stuff. So, we also had Ali Hillis, the voice actress for Liara, kind of chime in and say, oh, this is all interesting. And so obviously people were hyped about that. There is on the 12th going to be a big voice actor panel for, I think it's all trilogy folks. And they've been adding more and more people to it. So if you want to go hear all of these people talking about their time with the franchise, I wouldn't expect any news or anything too interesting from it. Those are always fun to listen to, so go check those out. I believe it's going to be on Jennifer Hale's YouTube if you want to go see it there. And that was kind of it. So that's where I'm going to start kind of trying to wrap things up. I've been talking for almost an hour, so I've already doubled the length of the first podcast. Overall, I was fine with this in 7 Day. Like I said, I have mixed feelings about how I kind of feel like we know less than we did before. That's kind of cool in some ways. It's also kind of mind numbing for in others. As a creator, I'm kind of bummed because I'm not going to be able to make videos about this stuff for a whole year, even though I will definitely try. Obviously mixing in some other games and other news as well, but with definitely a focus on this. Some people really hated this. There was supposed to be someone that was going to come on the podcast, and they contacted me. They're like, hey, I know we said we would do this, but my feelings I have about this event are so negative that I don't think you would really want to have that showcased on your channel, which I'm like, oh, that's cool. All good, man. Like, that's fine. If you know you, that's okay. I personally don't get that. But obviously everyone has their own feelings and their own kind of emotions and takes on this stuff. I wouldn't say this was everything I wanted. It wasn't even close. I was pleasantly surprised that we got a trailer. That I definitely didn't expect that for real. Like, I figured this was going to be like last year. And in some ways it was, in some ways it wasn't, some ways it was better, some ways it was worse. It's, you know, depends on how you look at it. What I'm hoping is that, and it's probably not going to happen this time, but at some point we'll start getting information more than just once a year. Between last year's N7 Day and this year, the only new info we really got was a couple blogs, including the one where they announced the layoffs, where they just confirmed the game is still in pre-production. That's probably all we're going to get for the next year. Maybe we'll get some more teasers as they get deeper in their pre-production and even begin full production. We'll see. I am still expecting them to start full production on this game probably towards the end of 2024. And I think the best case scenario is they're able to pump this baby out in about 2 years and have it release in like late 2026. I think it's way more likely though that it probably comes out in 27, or maybe we're all wrong and we're just huffing copium and hopium and this game doesn't come out till 2029. I think that's very unlikely. And for all the reasons I stated before. But overall, I thought N7 Day 2023 was great. I had a lot of fun with it. It was a lot of fun making content, hanging out on stream, and then doing everything I've done since then, including this podcast. So that's it. N7 Day 2023 in the books. I'm sure over the next couple months, we'll maybe suss out some more details and maybe find some more of these mysteries that are supposedly hidden. But for now, that's where I'm going to leave it. So if you have any questions or topics for the next show I do, like I said before, this is going to be like a monthly-ish show. I plan on doing about one episode a month So something like in January is probably going to be more of like a speculation-based thing. Maybe I can try to get a guest, and we can kind of go down that road with this. And yeah, we'll have to kind of see about that. So if you have any of your own questions or topics or speculation that you would like me to address, I always try to post in my Discord and on YouTube and over on my Twitch or my Twitter and say, hey, if you have anything, you know, let me know. I even have a Google form where you can submit ideas for the podcast. So you can find all of those things in the Linktree link or in the links down in the description of the podcast or the video. Being a solo podcast, most of the time, hearing from you is the best way for me to get some insight or some feedback or some ideas for the show. So please do that. And just thank you for listening to the show. Please interact either on Twitter or in my Discord or in the YouTube comments and any other place you can find me. I'm happy to talk about the show and get feedback and things like that. You can find me all over the internet as Bon Diesel, including over on Twitch, where I do stream a few times a month, and I actually multi-stream on there and YouTube, so you can follow me in either place. If you want to support this podcast and my other content, please consider checking out patreon.com/BonDiesel. You can become a member on my YouTube channel. You can subscribe over on Twitch, especially if you have a free sub with your Amazon Prime. Or you can go to my Linktree link and check out some merch and other things that I have available in there. That's all I have. So until next time.